You're listening to WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Governor Hochul is officially the Democratic nominee for governor. Our countdown to America 250 continues with a closer look at the U.S. Constitution. Plus, river otters make a splash on Long Island. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is kicking off her campaign with the resounding nomination of the Democratic State Committee. The New York Public News Network's Jimmy Vielkind has more.
Kathy Hochul is the designee of the party.
The incumbent governor is calling for unity after 85% of delegates backed her at the party convention on Friday.
New York Democrats, are you ready to join me when we take this country back?
She soundly defeated a challenge by Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado. He says Hochul isn't progressive enough and should raise taxes on the rich. Delgado says he will now try to petition his way onto the primary ballot.
What I'm here to do is give the people their power and let them decide.
Republicans say they'll nominate Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman as their candidate. In Syracuse, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
Connecticut lawmakers say increasing Medicaid reimbursement rates and limiting private equity investment in healthcare are top priorities this legislative session. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
About a third of Connecticut residents get their healthcare coverage through Medicaid. Representative Jillian Gilchrist of West Hartford is co-chair of the Human Services Committee. She says Medicaid reimbursement rates to providers need to be increased because they've been too low for years.
For now, the federal government hasn't touched the reimbursement structure. And so we get 50% back from the federal government, and in some cases we get 90% back. Why wouldn't we take full advantage of that right now before, God forbid, they go after that?
Her committee wants to spend about $250 million more per year. Lawmakers approved $60 million more last year. Representative Christine McCarthy-Vahey of Fairfield co-chairs the Public Health Committee. She says her committee is worried about private equity ownership of healthcare facilities after three major hospitals in the state went bankrupt.
Private equity investments in healthcare and in so many other sectors within our society are going to continue to be a major issue that all of us face.
A committee is considering a bill that would ban private equity involvement in certain parts of the healthcare business. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
Three inmates died in Connecticut prisons in less than a week, according to the state health department. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
Two died on February 1st, including Andre Desmond. He was serving a five-year sentence for attacking State Representative Mariam Khan in 2023. Prison guards found him unresponsive in his cell at Garner Correctional Institution in Newtown. On the same day, guards found an inmate dead in his cell at McDougall Walker Correctional Institution in Suffield. The state's medical examiner said he died by suicide, the only of the three recent cases in which a cause of death has been announced. Then on Friday, guards found another man dead in his cell, again at Garner. Officials say the man had been repeatedly hospitalized recently and had been discharged just hours before. The state says it's investigating all three deaths. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Coming up, it's the latest from WSHU's new series, The Making of Us. Plus, meet the guy tracking Long Island's most adorable wildlife comeback. Those stories and more are ahead. According to the National Weather Service, Saturday's snowstorm dropped 8 inches of snow in Killingly, Connecticut, and almost 7.5 at Montauk Point. Sunday morning wind chills reached -16 in Riverhead and -20 in parts of Connecticut. A dangerous level of carbon monoxide forced the evacuation of Newington Arena on Saturday night. Officials say it was caused by a Zamboni. Crews responded after reports of spectators throwing up and having headaches. The building had four times the acceptable level of carbon monoxide. Suffolk County prosecutors say the driver who ran a red light and killed an off-duty Nassau County police officer had a blood alcohol content of more than twice the legal limit. 20-year-old Matthew Smith pleaded not guilty to DWI charges. Prosecutors say the plan is to charge him with aggravated vehicular homicide in the death of Officer Patricia Espinoza. The U.S. Constitution is considered the most important document in the country's history, and for today's episode of WSHU's The Making of Us, Molly Ingram explores what it does and why it's so vital.
The U.S. Constitution is known as the supreme law of the land. I spoke with professor of politics and Sacred Heart University scholar-in-residence Gary Rose. He calls it the glue that holds the country together.
It is the Constitution that has held this country together throughout years of turmoil and a lot of, we even had a civil war, of course, and world wars and turmoil, you know, throughout the 250th year of our country.
The Constitution is made up of a preamble, 7 articles, and 27 amendments. It divides power between Congress, the President, and the Supreme Court. The first 10 amendments are known as the Bill of Rights. The document outlines everything from how old you have to be to run for office to the right to a trial by jury and the freedom of the press. Rose credits the Constitution with maintaining a separation of powers and limiting government involvement.
It has allowed for governance, yet simultaneously it has kept government constrained to a point where people don't feel it's necessary to overthrow it.
The U.S. Constitution is the world's longest-serving written charter of government that's still active today. It's considered living. That means it can be changed. But it's hard. It takes a supermajority in the House and Senate, and then 3/4 of the states, 38, have to vote for the amendment, too.
We don't want to change the Constitution too much in this country, but when we do, it's a big thing. It really is monumental when you add an amendment because you are adjusting a component of the Constitution to fit contemporary times.
Like any serious constitutional scholar, Rose has a favorite amendment.
And that's the First Amendment, largely because there are 5 components to it. And so it is that amendment, I think, that which is many ways the cornerstone of our freedom.
If you don't have a favorite amendment yet, don't worry. We'll give you all the information you need to pick one before July 4th, 2026. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
River otters are making a splash on Long Island, popping up in waterways where they've been absent for decades. And a new survey looks at their rebound specifically in the Peconic Bay watershed. I spoke with Mike Bettini of SeaTuck Environmental Association to learn more. I think most people would be surprised to learn that there are otters on Long Island, but it does make a lot of sense why they'd like it here, right, with all this access to waterways. So could you explain the history here, their disappearance, and what's allowed their return?
Yeah, river otters were found here on Long Island back in the early colonial times. So we have some writings from naturalists dating back then. It's stating that otters were part of the fauna here on Long Island. During the fur trade, where there were no regulations, otter is a very durable fur. So it was very valuable along with the beaver, and they were wiped out of Long Island. According to one of the famous naturalists, Decay, he did a lot of writing. He published something in the mid-1800s saying that they were no longer found on Long Island. They probably were wiped out even before that, but that's the earliest record we have of someone saying that they were not here anymore. In 1995, they released just under 300 otters that were caught in the the Hudson River watershed and elsewhere, and then moved and released in the western part of the state. But for Long Island, they've gotten here naturally over the years.
So without the help of human intervention, where are the otters coming from?
The source population for Long Island is the Connecticut, possibly a portion of Rhode Island, and Westchester. So they have to cross over Long Island Sound. So that's a challenge. And the closest point of Long Island to the mainland is very urbanized. Mm-hmm. So that's a real challenge. And they have a lot of cool adaptations for being excellent swimmers. And they can swim about 7 miles an hour. And the widest crossing from Connecticut to Long Island is about 20, 21 miles. So it's a 3-hour swim.
Yeah, and so that's why they've concentrated mostly on the North Shore, right? I know your surveys show they pop up near Oyster Bay, Nissaquag River, and around the Peconics. So could you take us through some of those findings?
So the million-dollar question we always get asked is, how many otters are there? And this is a very nocturnal, that's why most people don't know they're in their area. So it's very hard to spot them. It's very unusual to see an otter. Their home ranges are measured in linear miles of waterway, and they average, according to the literature, about 20 miles of shoreline. So that's a big area. Generally, in the winters, you could go out, and what you do is you look for their scent stations, which are basically latrines. That's the obvious thing you're going to see is their scat. It's mostly fish and crustacean remains. So you're looking at a pile of fish scales and fish bones or crab shell remains. So, and I've been doing this since 2008, so I have... Nowadays, I can just go out and go visit the sites that I know otters have been in before, just to see if they're still in that home range. And in a couple cases, they've disappeared from that area, and that's a result of car strikes where they have to cross a road in that area.
Why should people care about otters? Is their comeback signaling anything about the health of our region's waterways?
Yeah, so why study otters? That's how I would put it, and why care about them? Yeah, so they're a very charismatic species. Otters are cool. And people who aren't necessarily that interested in wildlife, so to speak, they get excited about otters being around in the area. And we've nicknamed them the ambassador of wetlands protection. Because a lot of, people do get excited about that, and they pay more attention to what's going on in their tidal creeks and ponds, so that's very helpful. The other thing is that with the roadkill situation, a great example in the Sag Harbor Village, Southampton Town area, Ligony Brook is a tidal brook that connects to the Long Pond Greenbelt, and that's one of the sites where an otter was hit exactly a year ago. And by looking at the culvert that the brook flows through under the Bridgehampton Turnpike, we realized that it was dilapidated and the otter had to get out of the creek, cross the road, got hit by a car, instead of just staying in the culvert. Now, this culvert at this point is being redesigned, and there's funding to replace the culvert. If in the redesign work, we can make sure that it's a safe passage, not only for otters, but other animals use that to get up into Long Pond. So it's an important fish passage for alewives in years where the water level's high enough to allow them to swim up to spawning areas near Long Pond. And American eels also use that. We can, by using the otter as a charismatic species and get people excited. This all costs money, and we had to pitch this to the Suffolk County Department of Transportation, and they were fascinated that we had otters on Long Island.
Yeah,
and I think that made an impact.
For more on Long Island's otters and some really cute pictures, head on over to WSHU.org. For the news you trust and music you love, listen to us on the radio or stream at WSHU.org. And your favorite shows are always within reach with the free WSHU app. Stream news, music, and podcasts anytime. And if you got something to share, you can actually send us feedback right in the app. So download the WSHU app today, free on the App Store or Google Play. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.